All right, good morning. Last but not least, and I want, if you would just remember me real quickly. First of all, I have to excuse my voice. I woke up with no voice this morning. So hopefully you'll be able to hear me. Let me know if you cannot. My name is Robin Perry Smith. I come from Penn State University in Hershey of College of Medicine. And of all those of you who went to the keynote address yesterday, it was very nice of how she talked about leadership, being creative, innovative, and having a passion with a purpose. Well, I have the pleasure of working with a study team where they are very creative in what they're doing back here in the Pennsylvania area, as well as being innovative, and they all have a passion. Dr. Robin Taylor-Wilson is a project investigator and of Penn State University, and Dr. Mark Kalin and Dr. Winnie Huner of Montclair State University in New Jersey. So there are no disclosure, there are no relationships to disclose at this, for this presentation. And I appreciate our first presenter because she came up and she talked about STEM, and she did it from the animation for the 6th to 8th graders, right? The 6th to 8th graders. And we are talking about STEM from a high school standpoint. And so, once again, and I'll just reiterate a little bit that she had said about the background for STEM and the reason why we are, you know, doing STEM. Well, they all, as you know, the United States is really having a gathering storm where there is a deficit in STEM professionals. And in order for us to really get, substitute the workforce shortage and address that, we really need to try and get STEM into the students before high school. You know, middle school is good, but high school as well. So if you can look at the first graph, it looks at how by gender and race and ethnicity, that percentage of students who are getting bachelor's degrees. And you see how the males go and enroll in STEM programs more than females, but the males get more of a bachelor's degree more than a female, as well as race and ethnicity. Besides looking at the Asian population, but between the black and Hispanics, they may enroll in STEM programs, but they're not gaining bachelor's degrees. So they're not completing. They may be getting some certificates, but they're not getting bachelor's degrees. And then it talks about, at the bottom chart, about how the percentage of the high school students who major in STEM, even though they have a high proficiency in STEM, okay, it goes up and the graph goes up, but when they come down, they're still not going into STEM professionals and fields. And somehow we need to try to address that so that we can replace us, you know, here at this conference, so that we can, 10 years from now, we can have our young students sitting in those same seats. So here's a little more background. So once again, what we decided to do a intervention called Early Preparation and Inspiration for Careers in the Biomedical Sciences, also dealing with public health. But what is one way, and so we have dealt with working with 9th graders, and this is what the 9th grade, this is what we have right now for our team for the 9th grades, and I will talk more into that about the students as we go forward. So what is our major goal? The major goal for our project here is to prepare and inspire students to pursue STEM college majors, particularly through a hypothesis-driven, project-based learning experience. So the reason I put this definition up is because I know that we are at a public health conference, but sometimes we have different types of disciplines coming in, and everyone does not know what epidemiology is, so I did not want to make that assumption. And it's the study of populations in order to determine the patterns and causes of health and illness, right, that are able to apply, that's what's being learned, to control health problems. Another definition I really like says that epidemiology is a scientific method used to investigate, analyze, and prevent or control a health problem in a population. So why, what's our justification for this? And why epidemiology? Because epidemiology is really called the science of public health, right? It offers a real-world experience for high school students. It typically is not taught in high schools. And scientifically, it can explore principles and issues that are relevant to youth. And also, according to the National Research Council, so they talk about how you should do science between kindergarten and 12th grade, and you have the framework, right? And as they quote, our expectation is that students will themselves engage in the practices and not merely learn about them secondhand. So most science educators and science teachers want them to just do it, right? Does Nike says it's just do it. Let them have hands-on science capability and practice, and that will engage youth to become more interested in what they want to do within science. So I put this up here because even though it talks about 8 practices, I have 6. I combine the 2 up top. But ask questions and develop using models. Everything that is going through, and I'm not going to read every one of these, but as you see as I put these up, this framework that is being done within the schools is also the framework we are using for our intervention, okay, with epidemiology. And there are handouts, and I have more detail in the handouts if you would download them. So what method did we use? We used a university school partnership method, and it's called community-based participatory research. I'm not sure if everyone is familiar with that. It's a type of research in which the community and the university come together and work together as a full partnership from beginning to end. They help to define the questions, they help to determine the answers and the outcome, and to help analyze and to help disseminate the information and how that dissemination needs to be used. So we have high schools. So as you can see, we have Cedar Cliff, John Harris, Lower Dolphin, SciTech, and Middletown. And so to give you just a brief history, so we're located in Harrisburg, Hershey, Pennsylvania. So history is there is a bridge that divides the west shore from the east shore. So we come, that crosses the Susquehanna River. And so back in the day, there was that people who lived on the west shore were segregated from the east shore. So you had the white population on the west shore, and on the east shore was African-Americans. You had a mixture over on the east shore. People did not cross that bridge. So to this day, you still have those people with that same mindset sometimes about that. So when I say Cedar Cliff is on the west shore, so that basically the population is mainly white. And then with some of the John Harris High School is inner city Harrisburg. So that would be predominantly black students. And then you have Lower Dolphin, which is a mixture, which is closest to Hershey. SciTech is also inner city. And Middletown is Caucasian with Hispanic and some African American. The research teams is that the research teams are 25 students per school. So we have 125 students that we have randomized. So each school has 5 teams, and they all each come up with their own research project. The high school teachers are also the educator coaches. So they are, once again, like the last presenter had said, when the students are in there, they're just coaching and advising, but they're letting the student teams do all the work. So we also hired some coaches, graduate students from Penn State, in order to work with the educator coaches in the school. So the educator coaches, the Penn State educator coaches, or I want to say the Penn State coaches, are the liaison to the educator coaches in the high school. So we have divided it as Penn State coaches, and then the high school teachers are educator coaches. Our project staff is our study team. And this is very instrumental when you do CBPR work, the steering committee. The steering committee meets monthly, and it involves with all the high schools, community stakeholders come together, and we decide on how, as a team, how to work together to move this project forward. Because with CBPR, you have got to have a true partnership. You've got to develop mutual trust and relationship with the people around that table. Because if you don't have the trust and relationship going into that school or into that culture, then you're not going to be able to get the project, you know, to fruition. So here are some of the teams that you can look at. When you look at the teams, you can see the diversity in the teams as well. And also I wanted to talk about some of the benefits as well with this partnership. So as you can see on each one, so we have the high school teachers usually on the left, and our Penn State coach is on the right. And so we have really gained knowledge from each other. They've gained knowledge from us, as we have of them, going into the schools trying to figure out how this is going to work with such diversity and going to 5 schools at one time. So what is our study design? So we did, in ninth grade, we did baseline questionnaires, which consisted of a science, interest, literacy, and proficiency, academic and career plan, and career interests. Okay, we distributed to all the ninth grades within all 5 high schools. So when I talk about epidemiology, so we also talk about it, it's called an Epi Challenge. So that way, you know, we try to make it more nice and engaging for the children, for the students. So it's our EPI challenge. So we did it for the EPI challenge for those who are going into the EPI challenge, and then for those students who are not in EPI challenge. We used a stratified random sample with oversampling for STEM minority students, okay? So half the students are female, and half the students receive free and reduced lunch, okay? And if we did it, like I said, we struggled through the freshman year, and now we're working with the sophomores. Here's the timeline. The baseline assessments we did fall of 2013. We are now currently in the EPI challenge, okay? And the follow-up assessments will be fall of 2014 and spring of 2015. And I must say, so June of 2014 is when we started and did an EPI challenge boot camp. And that will go all the way, and then they will work on during their sophomore year to they come to their capstone of June of 2015. And I will address that a little bit. So, you know, when you do research, you talk about time, place, and person. All these are involved when you do research. So we did it from a project-based learning. Okay, because you want the students to really analyze their data, to really get the hands-on, and to understand it for themselves. So not that we're not sitting here lecturing them and teaching them, but they are doing hands-on. And this will also help them to be able to use these type of listening, to use these skills in the future. So you have the critical science, critical thinking, collaboration, and communication. So the team science from the NIH talks about students working in teams. So we thought this was very integral because, as you know, as you go into college, you have to do projects with teams. You know, you have to do them in high school, but when you get into college, it's really evident there. But then when you go out into the workforce, there's always a team that you may have to work on, a person, you know, that you may not like to work with. So you've got to know how to work with different personalities and still get the work done. The target population were surveyed, there were 1,194 students. We got 940 surveys back. 86% response rate, which was pretty good. I mean, we really worked that hard. I mean, even, you know, so I would go in and make sure, with the teacher in the science room and really try to help get the students engaged because some of them were like, why do we have to do this? So you know the mentality of high school students. So 125 students were randomized. And then we did what I was talking about earlier, was an epidemiology boot camp. It was 40 hours, okay, and it went from 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, in the mid, right, it was like 2 weeks after school ended in June, okay? So here's the talks about, here's the schedule that they had for that 1 week. Yeah. So then we have Dr. Mark Kalin, who are lecturing to the students. So it was very intense. I mean, we had a lot of breakouts, you know, a lot of feedback. After the first day was a little vigorous, you know, but once we listened to the student feedback and changed the order of the day a little bit, we had a lot more participation. And then here is Dr. Whitney Huebner doing a data analysis plan on the third day. So you can see, you know, the students are sitting there, they're engaged, but it was a vigorous process. So they also, what we did is we had them and we discussed the different aspects of a master proposal. Okay, and so they ended up having to talk about hypothesis. And here's one of the groups. And each team had to come, by the end of the week, they had to have the master proposal, their hypothesis completed with a team name. Okay, so we have Team Cougars at John Harris. Students who are more physically active are less likely to text than students who are less physically active. Okay, so they came up with different hypotheses. And I wanted to give you a few more because they were asking questions, developing and using models. I like the one where it says, you know, students who participate in fall-winter school sports are more likely to receive worse grades compared to those students who do not participate in school stores, and that was the play. So I wanted you to look at some of these from different schools with their different team names. And also the one that came was Science Olympiads. Parents who are absent two or more evenings a week, and they were very detailed, from 3 to 9, leads to students with a GPA below a 2.0 and increased use of electronical devices. by cell phone, computer, and game system. So you see, these students are really trying to, you know, trying to think about a hypothesis, and their target population are the students from 9th to 12th grade. So they have a choice if they just want to do 10th graders, 11th graders, or 9th, 10th. So they'll have to do informed consent. Go out, and then they will have to do the survey. They had to talk about, they had to do the data components and talk about confounding and biases. So, last week or so when I went in, we do observations. They're doing their 2x2 tables right now, and so some students have come up and said, "Oh, well, we really going to have to change so many survey questions. Do we have time to do that?" So, and so they have piloted their survey questions amongst their own teams, and they're getting ready to pilot again amongst other teams within the school. So our successes and challenges. Well, here are some successes. The successes have been that they've come together as teams, working together. That we have been able to put this program in 5 diverse high schools with different age levels, different educational backgrounds, different cultures of the school. Some schools have to do the program during the day, during the school where they use a flex period. Other schools are doing it right after school, 3 to 4. Some of the challenges have been retention, and I would use that as a success and a challenge. We've had retention, which is good, but we've also had some challenges of retention of students staying, and that is because, and it's been a variety. Some have been because of relocation. You know, some have dropped out of the school district. Some have been personal family reasons that they could not do it. Some it's because they have standardized tests coming up, and they have to really go and do some studying. So it's really different reasons why, or there's just some that says, "I just can't do it." But there's also a success when you have a student who will say, "I know I don't want to go into the sciences, but I'm going to stick this out because this is really interesting, and I want to broaden my horizon." So as you can see, so we talked about the university school partnership. What I want you to see right now, here is where we are right now. Before you saw that screen, the slide where we had all schools with all 5 teams, John Harris is down to 1 team. And they have stuck it out. They've got 1 team, and they've combined with SciTech, okay, just so that they can keep the mentorship going, but they're still keeping their separate, their individual identity and keeping their own research at their school. So that's one. So right now we're about to 101 students from 125. So the long-term goals is to maintain Penn State high school partnerships, to really identify sustainable sources of funding, and develop partners at other institutions, and develop teaching capacity at other schools. Because eventually we like to do a train the trainer, where you train the educators in the high schools, and they could go ahead and integrate this into their science curriculum. And I would like to acknowledge the different team members that we have here, our high school partners, and we are funded by the National Institute of Health and the Foundation for Enhancing Communities. Thank you.